Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, titled Brahma's Prayer for Creative Energy, text number 33. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. When you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are free from all influences of the modes of material nature, you will realize your pure form in my association. At that time, you will be situated in pure consciousness. Purport. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that a person whose only desire is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord is a free person in any condition of material existence. That service attitude is the swarupa or real form of the living entity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also confirms this statement by declaring that the real spiritual form of the living entity is eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord. The Mayavad school shudders at the thought of a service attitude in the living entity, not knowing that in the transcendental world, the service of the Lord is based on transcendental love. Transcendental loving service is never to be compared to the forced service of the material world. In the material world, even if one is under the conception that he is no one's servant, he is still the servant of his senses under the dictation of the material modes. Factually, no one is master here in the material world, and therefore the servants of the senses have a very bad experience of servitude. They shudder at the thought of service because they have no knowledge of the transcendental position. The transcendental loving service, the servitor is as free as the Lord. The Lord is Swarat or fully independent, and the servant is also fully independent or Swarat. In the spiritual atmosphere, because there is no forced service, there the transcendental loving service is due to spontaneous love. A reflected glimpse of such service is experienced in the service of the mother unto the son, the friend's service unto the friend, or the wife's service unto the husband. These reflections of service by friends, parents or wives are not forced, but are due only to love. Here in this material world, however, the loving service is only a reflection. The real service or service in the Swarupa is present in the transcendental world in association with the Lord. The very same service in transcendental love can be practiced in devotion here. This verse is also applicable to the Jnani school. The enlightened Jnani, when free from all material contaminations, namely the gross and the subtle bodies, together with the senses and the material modes of nature, is placed in the Supreme and is thus liberated from material bondage. The Jnanis and the devotees are actually in agreement up to the point of liberation from material contamination. But whereas the Jnanis remain pacified on the platform of simple understanding, the devotees develop further spiritual advancement in loving service. The devotees develop a spiritual individuality in their spontaneous service attitude, which is enhanced on and on, up to the point of Madhurya Rasa, or transcendental loving service, reciprocated between the lover and the beloved. ॐ ज्ञानतिम्रांस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Here, the Lord is responding to Brahmaji after hearing his prayers for creative energy as he is embarking upon the great mission of creation. He had felt some difficulties in the creation, so he prays. Then the Lord reciprocates that he had already granted whatever is necessary for the purpose of creation. So here, there is a nice description about one's swarupa, what is one's real position. So it is very clearly mentioned that one's swarupa is to be the servant of the Lord. Jivera swarupoi krishnera nitya das. Srila Prabhupada, in his lectures, he asked this question that in the crowd, who is not a servant? This is Srila Prabhupada's question. Who is not a servant? So no one can say that one is a master. Everyone is a servant. So Srila Prabhupada narrates, okay, one is serving in one's relation, in one's official capacity as a servant. Or one could say, I'm not serving anything, I'm the master. Then Srila Prabhupada says, if that is the case, one is under the dictation of the three modes of material nature, which is manifested in the form of the mind, which is manifested in the form of the senses. And how can we get away from such dictations, being on the material platform, which is impossible? So the material world is full of service, but the service is dictated by the modes of material nature. Now, Srila Prabhupada gives a comparison between transcendental loving service and its reflection in the material world. If you see, we can see that, okay, there is service done by mother to a child. And in many places, Srila Prabhupada mentions that that could be considered closest to pure service, pure transcendental loving service, closest to, in the material world. But as such, there is no comparison. But since the mother generally do not have expectation while serving her child, it is considered pure in that sense. However, we can see that it cannot be pure or it cannot be eternal because it is limited by the body and it can be limited according to the reciprocation of the child. So it is not, you know, it is not complete. So it is considered only a reflection. It is not complete. It is just a reflection of the loving service in the spiritual world. For example, how can a mother serve the child all the time? How can even mother think of the child all the time? It's not possible because there are bodily limitations. And when the child grows up, then it turns to a different story. And our bodies are limited. Our minds are limited. So everything is very much limited in this world. And what to speak about other relationship? Friend serving a friend or, you know, wife serving a husband, which is very temporary. It has its value for some time, but it cannot last for a very long time. So here, in this purport, it is mentioned one's real position as the swarup, it is based on one's service attitude. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that as one progresses in one's devotional service, one of the measurement stick is the service attitude. So here, two things we can say. One is service attitude, and also if one reflects on one's own consciousness, one can see how much material attachment one has. So this is on the negative side, it is our material attachment, and on the positive side, it is the service attitude. So it's not necessarily how many Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita verses that we have memorized. That's not the yardstick to measure one's spiritual advancement. Rather, it is the mood of service. And at the same time, one can look into oneself that how much material attachment that I am having at this point in time. We think many times that, you know, are we making any advancement? You know, we tend to ask another 10 people, you know, are we really making any advancement? But it is pretty much look into oneself and see how much material attachment that we have, and are we trying to fuel that material attachment? Often we can give the example of kindling a lamp or a fire. Then we see that, okay, we are trying to somehow or other kindle the lamp of devotional service. And at that point, what we do, when we try to enjoy materially, when we try to perform sense gratification, then what happens? It is just like throwing a bucket of water into that small flame of fire which is just starting. So this is the danger of sense gratification. So it can be gross sense gratification or it can be subtle sense gratification. It is grossly we can act exactly like a devotee, at least to a great degree. We can get up early in the morning, we can put on nice clothes, nice tilak, we can attend all morning program, we can do the whole day of devotional service, we can keep go on and on, at least for some time. However, when we look into our heart, we can see that there are anarthas, and we can see that, okay, there are demands of the mind. And interesting enough, we are attached to them. Anartha means that which is of no value. But we are attached to our anarthas. An example for this is, a thought comes to our mind which is very, very bad. It shouldn't be there in our mind. Still, we have the tendency to keep that thought in our mind. It is lingering in our mind and we want to, you know, relish that thought, which we know it is not nice. So this can go on and on, and it is actually creating such a trouble for our own devotional service. So this happens many times. So the challenge is, are we ready to cut our thought and think about Krishna? Like I said, we will have to have an attitude of a sportsman spirit. Sportsman, when if there is a wrestling match, or if there is a, many times it can happen in our ashram, wrestling matches. So if there is a wrestling match, assume one person get hit, still one doesn't lose hope. He will go again and, you know, just fight back, right? That is wrestling. If you have seen a boxing match in a boxing ring, you can see, you know, just trying to punch, you know, one or two punches one may get, one again try to hit hard back. So this is the mood in which we can approach the illusory energy. That is, if illusory energy is attacking, if our mind is agitated, or we are not feeling like doing our service, or, you know, so many negative thoughts are coming, then do one thing, do something about it. Don't just sit idle. Okay, it's happening, you know, what can I do? I am fallen. I have anarthas. It is, everyone knows that I have anarthas. And in our beginning stage, it is supposed to have that. So, let it be so. So, question is, what are we doing? It is like, we were discussing this point in Bhakti Vaibhav just a few days back, that one person said, I am the most fallen, to Srila Prabhupada. So, one response was that, Srila Prabhupada said, then what are you going to do about it? So in the same way, we need to think, you know, okay, so many bad things are coming, okay, are we going to do anything about it? So if we do, if we take a step, then we can see that there is a change in our consciousness. So everything starts from our desire. If we really want to make progress in our devotional service, then we can. If we want to go to the next level in our devotional service, we can. Nobody is actually holding us back. You know, again, the same story, you know, like one person is holding on to the tree and saying, you know, please detach me from the tree, please detach me from the tree. You know, we are holding on to. In the same way, even though we are holding on to our anarthas, if we really have the desire, then it is possible. One can pray, one can take some steps towards improving our devotional service, in improving our consciousness. It is possible always. There is no such time that we can't make progress in devotional service. It is possible. It needs sustained endeavor and sincere effort, but it is possible. So this is one thing we need to learn as we are moving in the devotional path. Because otherwise, we see that the years are passing. It's very easy. And it's so easy to say that the days are going, especially if you, you know, if you are engaged in a service full time, it's very easy to say, see that the days are just going, weeks are going, months are going, years are going. Everyone has this experience, you know, just look back, you know, oh, so many years went by. And if you look back, how many years have we chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? So we can see time is flying, but then we see the anarthas that we are, in one sense cultivating, then we may get a shock. If we actually see that, okay, we are not making progress, okay, there are some problems, it is very good, then we can take a step and go to the next level. We have to always see, okay, we need to go to the next level. Say 2 years back, we may not be able to see on a monthly basis how our consciousness is progressing. It can be a bit difficult, but it is possible. On a daily basis, it is impossible because there is always ups and downs. As I said, you know, the progression in devotional service, you know, we cannot expect an exponential development. It is possible, nothing is impossible, but at least if it is progressing in the right direction, still there are ups and downs. You might have seen a graph which is steadily progressing, but at the same time, there are some ups and downs. But on average, it is moving ahead. So we need to see that. So if you look back a year, 2 years back, we need to see our consciousness. How is it really improving? Or what can I do so that I can improve my consciousness, improve my service attitude? How am I approaching the service? With grudge, in neutral way, in happiness, or I'm not even approaching? So we need to really see where are we at. So because the development of that is coming to the stage of actual sarup, because jivar sarup hoy Krishna nitya das, Krishna tatastha shakti bheda abheda prakash. So we can be bheda or abheda, we can attach ourselves to material energy or to the spiritual energy. So the real sarup means we are getting attached to the spiritual energy of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that Mayavad school shudders at the thought of service attitude. They cannot think this point that, okay, we are just servants of Krishna. They completely reject. That's why Srila Prabhupada says this is the last snare of Maya, to think that I am greater than everyone. In one sense, I am God. Srila Prabhupada also makes a very interesting statement that, okay, this Mayavadis, they want to become God, yes, but Vaishnavas are even superior, because a Vaishnava can, a pure devotee can control God. So Prabhupada asks, what is better? Even superior in that way, Srila Prabhupada makes this point. So this is the progression in devotional service. And as it is mentioned here, the Gyani school, they can also apply this particular verse, because in one objective, we are same as Gyanis. What is that? We also want liberation from material energy. So we have the same energy, same opponent, same enemy. The devotees and the Mayavadis have same enemy. What is that enemy? Illusory energy, Maya. So, and the, or the material association. So we want to be out from this material clutches. In that way, we have a common enemy, but their understanding is very limited, because they just know about the Brahman aspect, and higher aspect is service to the Lord. Initially, people think when they seek for spirituality, they think that, okay, being in meditation, being in peace, that is the perfection. Whenever we speak to anyone, everyone says, what is spirituality? The mind is very peaceful. Many people have told me, mind is very peaceful. You are at present at this point in time. You are in the presence. This is spirituality. Spiritually advanced means you are in the presence. That's it. But being in the presence is for animals. Animals are actually being in the presence. They are not planning for the future. They are not so much worried about the past. They are in the present. So being in presence and, you know, the so-called mindfulness, being mindful of what we are doing, that is for animals. Animals have perfected that art already. You know, there are, you know, kingfisher. Have you seen kingfisher? Bird? Not anything else. Kingfisher. The bird. The bird. Have you seen, I used to take bath. Many years I have taken bath in a pond. So I used to see kingfisher. They sat in the inner side. They are quite beautiful. And when any fish is just coming to the surface, they just fly, it's so fast, just flies, pick them and, you know, just take them and just fly away. Catches a fish like that. Very present, very focused. So this is not the aim of spirituality. This is, you know, animals are doing perfectly. Have you seen cane? You call it them cane? They stand in one leg, you know, or, you know, near a, you know, river or a lake, and they are just meditating. In Sanskrit, it is called bhagathyanam. Bhagathyanam. Really, it is a term also. Bhagathyanam. Bhaga means the cane, and dhyanam means the dhyanam, same meditation. So it is said bhagathyanam is considered very superior, because one just focused on one thing, just stands long enough, and when it sees a fish, immediately catches. So focused. So it's not a big deal. So that's why for us, our knowledge is far, far beyond that, because we know about the spiritual personality, Krishna, and we know we have to develop service unto him. And Srila Prabhupada actually explains all the way up till the service in spontaneous love, and also coming to the highest stage of Madhurya Ras. So Srila Prabhupada says this is the epitome of servitude, serving in Madhurya Ras, or transcendental loving service reciprocated between the lover and the beloved. So I'll speak a few words about a great devotee of the Lord who exhibited all this, exhibited the highest level of transcendental service. That is Madhavendra Puri. Today is the appearance of Madhavendra Puri. So briefly we'll speak about Madhavendra Puri. It is said that not many people know much about Madhavendra Puri. And there are not much of writings of Srila Madhavendra Puri left in this world. Only 2 or 3 verses of Madhavendra Puri is left in this world. In fact, a few years back, Jagatarini Mataji gave a few seminar series on Madhavendra Puri in our farm retreat. And also just recently, His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj also spoke about Madhavendra Puri. So I'll try to speak a few things about Madhavendra Puri. Because how do we know about Madhavendra Puri? Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrates the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri as he had heard from Ishwarapuri, his spiritual master. So there is a whole chapter on the pure, loving, devotion service of Madhavendra Puri. So I will explain a few pastimes very briefly. As you know, Madhavendra Puri, he was in the renounced order, and he was in Braj, he was in Govardhan. And one time, he was performing Ayachaka Vritti. Yachaka means a beggar. You know, Yajan means to beg. Yajan, Yajan, we know, begging. So, Ayachaka means he doesn't beg for food or anything. So, it's very difficult if you think about it. Say, one can be in the renounced order, but one can accept alms. So, that is Yachaka. That is very common. At the same time, one can be in the renounced order, at the same time, he can be in the Ayachaka. Means, he doesn't ask for food, he asks for nothing. So whatever comes in the way, whatever someone gives as inspired by Krishna, then he would accept. Otherwise, he wouldn't. So Madhavendra Puri was fasting. He was not having anything because nothing was offered to him. He was in Braj, he was in Govardhan. And at that time, he was sitting and a very beautiful boy came and he offered Madhavendra Puri a cup of milk. He told, you know, oh Baba, here no one fasts. And so, the ladies over here, they saw that you are fasting and they prepared this milk and you can take this, you can drink this. So, Madhavendra Puri was very much captured by this boy. He was very beautiful, very handsome. And he took the milk and he wanted to ask more things to this boy because he was very much captivated by this boy. But this boy said, no, I had to go. I have something to do, so I had to go now. So, he just disappeared. Then Madhavendra Puri, he relished that milk and he was thinking, it is not from here, it is something divine. Then as he was drinking the milk and he just sat there, then he dozed off for some time. He just slept. And in the dream, the same boy came and he revealed himself to be Krishna and told him that I am actually hidden in the bushes in the form of a deity, Gopinath deity. Sorry, what's the name of the deity? Gopal deity. So, you get some of the villagers and take me out because I am here, you know, it's not in a proper condition and under the earth, you know, along the bushes, such a difficult life, so you take me out and worship. So he got the villagers and he excavated that place and got the deity out and installed Gopalji on top of Govardhan. And there was a huge worship of Gopalji by different villagers. So they were all very, very enthusiastic in worshipping Gopalji. And one day, Gopalji told that it is very hot here and I need some sandalwood and I need some Malaya sandalwood. It's called Malaya Chandan. So Madhavendra Puri, immediately he left to South India, and on the way he went to Puri, or he was on the way to Puri. There, this pastime happened of the Kshirchor Gopinath, where the Lord himself stole a pot of kshir for Madhavendra Puri. The reason was, Madhavendra Puri was thinking that it was very, very special. These pots were very special and it had such a wonderful kshir, condensed milk. And Madhavendra Puri started meditating, if I get this, if I get to taste this kshir, then I can prepare the same thing to Gopal and I can offer to him. But at that time, the offering was not actually gone to the altar for offering. It was just being taken to the altar. So he felt, you know, I have committed such a great offense. This is one regulation all the devotees needs to follow, that when we are cooking, or when we are preparing the plate for the Lord, or when we are doing the offering, we shouldn't think, you know, yeah, if I taste this pakora, how, you know, I want to eat this pakora. It's okay after offering, after Krishna accepts, but I want to taste this. How is the sabji today? How is the sweet rice today? We cannot think in the mental mind, in the mind we cannot think like that. It is considered an offense. It's difficult. One has to be very well prepared when going to the kitchen, cooking, or, you know, when making the plate. One has to be in the right consciousness. Otherwise, when you see the right, you know, nice preparation, one can think, okay, after offering, but I want to taste. So it is considered and seva aparath, offense to the deities. So Madhavendra Puri considered, it is not being offered and I thought that I want to taste that. Even though it's not for me to offer to Gopal, still I thought. So it's a mental offense. In that way, Madhavendra Puri was thinking and he thought, I have committed such a great offense, so I have to leave from this place. So he left. And he went to the marketplace and he was sleeping, and after the offering finished, Pujari took all the pots out and he continued his routine as usual. However, in the middle of the night, he had a dream. The Pujari got the dream that the Lord told, I have kept a pot of sweet rice, sorry, it is a kshir, it's a condensed milk aside, and give that to Madhavendra Puri. Then he took bath, went inside the altar. So behind the chadar of the Lord, he found a pot. And he was wondered, you know, I took all the 12 pots out, still one pot is remaining there. How is it possible? Then he took the pot and he was calling out, where is Madhavendra Puri? Where is Madhavendra Puri? And in the marketplace, Madhavendra Puri was sleeping and he got out and he asked what happened. So the Pujari explained. Pujari said, you are the most fortunate one because the Lord himself has stolen a pot of condensed milk for you. And he was in ecstasy. He paid obeisances unto this pot of sweet rice and he drank the condensed milk. And finally he broke the pot and he actually wrapped it in his cloth and he started going away from that place, fearing that his fame would be spread. And he didn't want to be famous. He didn't want to hear his glories. So he just left from that place. And he would eat every day a bit of that mud from the mud pot. So this was the devotion of Madhavendra Puri. And finally, there was a whole pastime where he didn't have to continue his journey to South India to get the Malaya Chandan, rather it was being arranged in by the king of Orissa. And then he came back. Then he didn't have to carry this Chandan also all the way. Because when they reached Ramuna, he had a dream, and in which Kshirchor Gopinath, he told him that it is same if you apply this chandan on my body. you don't have to go to Gopal, because Gopal and Govinda, same people, same personality. So you can do that. Then for many days, Mathavendra Puri and other Brahmanas, they applied the sandalwood paste on the body of Gopinath. Finally, I just want to narrate one point regarding Mathavendra Puri. It is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a verse composed by Mathavendra Puri that is revealing the heart of Mathavendra Puri, which is Ai Dina Dayadra Nathahe Madhranatha Kimalokyase Hridayam Tat Aloka Kadaram Daida Brahmyakrim Karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? It is mentioned that Mathavendra Puri left this world reciting this verse again and again. So he was in the intense separation from the Lord, and he was reciting this verse out of separation of Srimati Radharani when Krishna left Vrindavan to Mathura. That's why here the Lord is addressed as O Master of Mathura. So I'll read the purport to this verse by Srila Prabhupada. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Mathavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Mathavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Mathavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India and met the Tattvavadis who supposedly belonged to Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So this happened in Udupi. So Mahaprabhu had a conversation between the Tattvavadis, the followers of Madhvacharya, and him. So there was a nice discussion, and Mahaprabhu corrected them. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feeling of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Natha, as did Mathavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus: my dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me and let me know, when shall I see you? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feeling experienced by Mathavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feeling experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Mathavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. So we can see that this verse is actually speaking about that at the end, the highest aspect of devotional service. Now I will speak very briefly about another Acharya's appearance, that was Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya's appearance is also very, very auspicious. Srinivas Acharya's father was Gadadhar Pandit, Gadadhar Bhattacharya. He came to know, he was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and he came to know about the acceptance of sannyas of Mahaprabhu. So when he heard that, he became so morose and he started crying. And he just constantly started chanting, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. So he left his village, he went to Nadia and he heard this Mahaprabhu's sannyas leela. And when he returned to his village, he was telling only one thing, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, nothing else. Then his name became Chaitanya Das, because he was always chanting the name of Lord Chaitanya, he became known as Chaitanya Das. Then he continued living there, he got married, and this couple had a desire to have a son. So since they were great devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they decided that they would go to Jagannath Puri and meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get blessings, and then they can have a son. So they goes all the way to Jagannath Puri. As soon as they meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that whatever the desire you have, it will get fulfilled. So immediately, they didn't have to ask anything. Straight away Mahaprabhu told, whatever desire you have, it will get fulfilled. Then Mahaprabhu told his servant Govinda that a great devotee is going to appear in the womb of the wife of Chaitanya Das, Gadadhar Bhattacharya. And he will be an embodiment of divine love. And he will enthuse all the devotees in devotional service. So this was the prediction made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that his name would be Srinivas. So Mahaprabhu understood completely about Srinivas Acharya and understood the great, great devotee is going to appear. And there was a complete blessing for this couple from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to have a son. And Srinivas Acharya, he took birth, and as Mahaprabhu predicted, the name was Srinivas. He had a great devotion for the Lord. He got education. And then Srinivas Acharya, at one point, he wanted to meet with Mahaprabhu. So he met Narahari Sarkar. And from the Narahari Sarkar, he came to know that Mahaprabhu is going to end his pastime. So Srinivas wanted to see Mahaprabhu. So he was very anxious that whether Mahaprabhu would leave this world. And I just want to get the audience of Mahaprabhu. Thinking in that way, Srinivas Acharya started walking to Puri. But before reaching Puri, he came to know that Mahaprabhu had entered his pastimes. It is said that he fell unconscious. And then, you know, he was so morose. And he thought that he would commit suicide, because he couldn't get the audience of Mahaprabhu. So he said, there is no point for me to live. Like that. Still, then he had a dream that you still go to Jagannath Puri. So he goes to Jagannath Puri, where he meets the associates of Mahaprabhu. Like he hears Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, because Gadadhar Pandit is known for his recital of Srimad Bhagavatam in various tunes with so much of devotion. So he meets with Gadadhar Pandit, he hears Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, then he meets with Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar Goswami. So he meets all Mahaprabhu's associates and he gets blessings from all these great personalities. Then after that he returns to Bengal and he spent some time there. Then at one point he wanted to meet Rupa and Sanatan. And also he wanted to meet Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu. But unfortunately, wherever he wanted to meet Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, but at that time he heard the sad news that both of them had disappeared from this world. Again, he was thinking of committing suicide because of separation from Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Then finally he decided that I will go to Vraja and I will meet at least the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, starting from Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and rest of the Goswamis. But as soon as he goes to Vraja, again he hears the news that Rupa and Sanatan had left the world. So it was like very intense for Sri Srinivas Acharya, that wherever, whatever he wants to do, he is hearing that they are all left, going away from this world. So he was considering himself so unfortunate. He couldn't see Mahaprabhu, he couldn't see Nityananda Prabhu, he couldn't see Advaita Acharya. Now Rupa and Sanatan, they are also gone. In that way he was, you know, completely shattered. Then, however, he goes to Vraja, where he gets the association of three Goswamis. One is Gopalabhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Jiva Goswami. So he gets the association of three Goswamis, and he was initiated by Gopalabhatta Goswami. However, he was studied under Sri Jiva Goswami. So one time, interestingly, there were two more classmates or batchmates for Srinivas Acharya. They were also great devotees. One was Dukhi Krishnadas, later known as Shyamananda Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur. So three of them were studying together under the guidance of Sri Jiva Goswami. One time, Jiva Goswami heard Srinivas Acharya explaining a verse from Ujjala Neelamani. It's a very advanced literature written by Srila Rupa Goswami. So when he heard this explanation, Jiva Goswami was very, very pleased. And then he awarded the title as Acharya. So that's how Srinivas became Srinivas Acharya. Similarly, the name was Narottam Das, and the Thakur title was awarded by Jiva Goswami. So he became Narottam Das Thakur. Similarly, for Dukhi Krishnadas, became Shyamananda Pandit, because he was very expert in pleasing Srimati Radharani. So Shyamananda Pandit, Shyamananda, his name became Shyamananda, not Dukhi Krishnadas, like that. So Jiva Goswami taught everyone, and Srinivas Acharya became a great scholar and a great devotee. Mahaprabhu made another interesting prediction that I have brought all the Vaishnava literature through Rupa Goswami and his associates to this world, and I will distribute all this literature through Srinivas. So this was the prediction of Mahaprabhu. So the first book distributor is Srinivas Acharya, because it is the prediction of Mahaprabhu that I would distribute all the books through Srinivas Acharya. And they made a party of book distributors. They were collecting all the Vaishnava literature from Braj, and they were bringing to south, to Bengal, both the east and west part of the Bengal, and to Orissa. So they had, it's mentioned that they had an ox cart and a big box full of books. And they were all the original copies of books, all written by, you know, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, everything. So we can imagine how precious the whole collection of literature is. And all these three great personalities were accompanying along with some servants. So the ox cart was moving down. However, when it reached one place, they halted for the night. And there was a king. His name was Veera Hambir. He was a kind of not a very straightforward person. He had an astrologer, and he could find where is wealth. And he could send his thieves. He had a gang of thieves. They could go and they can steal the whole gold and the jewels, and they can bring it back. So this was the whole idea. So this astrologer said that there is a ox cart coming, which is full of valuable gold and jewels. So you can send your people and get that stuff. So the Veera Hambir, he sent his robbers, and the robbers first worshipped Chandi. Chandi is the Durga, and got her blessings, and then they went to steal. And as all these devotees were sleeping, they got all the books, because they didn't know it was books, the whole box, and they actually transported to the king's palace. But however, the king opened, he actually said he just saw books. He was a bit shocked. It's just books, what's the use? Then it is mentioned that Srinivas Acharya sent Shyamananda Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur to Bengal and Orissa, and he said, I will rescue the books and come back. So he got a rumor that it might have been taken by the king and his associates. So he goes to the king. And when he goes to the king, king was hearing a Srimad Bhagavatam recitation by one of the brahmanas. He was a kind of a guru of that assembly. Then, seeing Srinivas Acharya, Virahambir, he had some transformation. He started thinking that this personality is really great. So I want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So Srinivas Acharya gave a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam. And upon hearing the discourse of Srimad Bhagavatam, this royal priest as well as all assembled people, they got astonished. They haven't heard such a recital of Srimad Bhagavatam and explanation. So all of them surrendered under the feet of Srinivas Acharya. So this the kingly priest, he became his disciple. The Virahambir became his disciple. And all his associates, all of them became disciples of Srinivas Acharya. And then Srinivas Acharya, and they actually returned all the books given to or stolen by them to Srinivas Acharya and greatly apologized. Then Srinivas Acharya sent the good news both to Vraj as well as to Bengal and Orissa that okay, the books are recovered, and they actually started the party. So it is mentioned that king had a dream that Srinivas Acharya was his guru even in his previous life. Not in this life, previous life also he was his guru. So king also felt great joy seeing his spiritual master. So there are many pastimes of Srinivas Acharya. So this is the one important pastime, how he established book distribution. Then they actually distributed books profusely in Bengal and Orissa. Okay, I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Madhuri. Yes, it is our philosophy also. We had to be in the goodness. Goodness means presence. So we don't deny that. But that the only point is it is not transcendental. It is a stepping stone to pure goodness. But that in itself is not spiritual. That's all. We don't deny goodness. We need goodness. We had to be in the present. We often say we are spaced out, right? What does that mean? I mean, we are not in the present, basically, in essence. So, yes, of course. Mindfulness being the goodness is recommended, but we cannot consider it as spiritual. It's not spiritual. It's a material mode of goodness, that's all. So we don't say, don't be in the present. But we don't say, this is not spirituality. It is a stepping, it is material, but it is favorable to think about Krishna or chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yeah. Is that clear? Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.